and welcome to the InIT podcast, where we talk about the latest trends in public transit and look into the future of mobility through the eyes of leading industry experts. I'm your host, Ann Derby, and today we're talking about what's happening with account-based fares in public transit. Joining us today is Thomas Scheich, Systems Engineer Manager. Thomas oversees the technical implementation of InIT's West Coast fare collection system. Thomas, welcome to the InIT podcast. Thanks for joining us today from Portland.
Thanks a lot, Anne, and excited to talk.
So, Thomas, let's talk about what's happening in Portland. You've been living and breathing the Hop Fast Pass project over the last 5 years. A Hop Fast Pass is a fare collection system, account-based, that is really making news around the world. Give me some background. Tell me a little bit about this project.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. We brought a lot of improvements to the region over the last years. So we, as a system integrator, started roughly, as you said, 5 years ago in 2014. But TriMet, as the agency, even started earlier than that. They started, from what I heard, in 2010 or 2011 with first thoughts how they're going to move Portland and the region to a new fare collection system, and especially aligning their fare structure so that they can do something simple, something that everyone understands, and really bring that technology to the Portland region and have it usable as easy as possible. We launched the Hop Fastpass system in summer of 2017, and so far the customer feedback is really positive.
Tell us a little bit more about the system. Like, it's implemented now and people have been using it for some time. There have been some add-ons and some really exciting things. But for now, just tell us about what has been implemented.
So the system is fully live. That means everything that we envisioned is implemented now. One of the major things that TriMet really used as one of the means to sell this project is implementing fare capping in a very radical way. Fare capping is used for a lot of agencies in the US for mostly day caps, to say instead of having a day pass, we are replacing it with just using your cash value as you go, and then you get the same benefit as a day pass. But TriMet brought that one step further and eliminated all their monthly passes too, which means instead of buying a monthly pass at the beginning of the month, all you have to do is tap your card. They have a monthly capping implemented that then will just not allow you to spend more than the $100 that normally the price of a monthly pass is. And therefore, it caps you out at the end of the month and gives you the best price for this month. I don't know another agency that did that in the US. So this is really something that was a first on the US market. Another major improvement for the customer is that they now have lots of ways to pay for transit. You can just use your contactless credit card or your credit card added to Google Pay or Apple Pay to just tap the validator and pay directly at the time of boarding. That works for the buses and for the light rail. So on the buses, the validators are installed on the bus itself, and on the light rail, the validators are installed on the platform. In addition to that, of course, they can buy physical hop cards, but they don't have to go into a TriMet store or any of the other agencies that are participating. They can go to over 500 retailers, for example, the local grocery outlet that sells hop cards. They can load money. They can use whatever payment method they want to use, credit card, debit cards, checks, or cash, and therefore have a very easy way to get a hold of a hop card. A thing that we just launched 3 months ago is that now people can buy a so-called virtual hop card. With that virtual hop card, they don't even need to go into a retailer and buy a physical card. They just can download an app, click through the app interface, and more or less buy a virtual card that is then added to Google Pay and Apple Pay and or Apple Pay, depending on the platform that you're using. And with that virtual card, you get exactly the same benefits that you would get with a physical hop card. So you get the monthly cap, you get the day cap, and you get all the balance protection that comes with a hop card. Just, you cannot forget your card anymore because it lives in your phone, and it's very unlikely that you forget your phone at home.
So you're talking about virtual cards, and this is a virtual card is something that actually is stored in, say, for instance, your Google Wallet or Apple Wallet. So it's just like any other debit card that you could use in your mobile wallet, but it's a actual transit card.
Correct. So it's exactly the same then as your physical hop card where you can load money to and use them for means of payment. The major advantage, of course, is that, as you said, the card itself lives in the Google Wallet or in the Apple Wallet, and therefore it's just linked to your phone, and all you have to do is tapping your phone to a validator instead of tapping your card, and the phone slash the Google or Apple Wallet is then activated, and it deducts automatically the fare that you're supposed to pay. The nice thing for Apple is that you don't even have to unlock your iPhone. So all you have to do is walk up to the validator, tap your phone in an unlocked state, and you neither have to activate it with your fingerprint or you have to unlock. So all you have to do is tap your phone and get into the bus or hop onto the light rail, which is just very nice from a dwell time too. So there's really no difference from a time perspective if you tap your card or if you tap your phone.
Well, it does sound like a bit more of a time saver. I know I've tried to use my card in my Apple Wallet, and it's either the thumb or you have to punch in your code. So that's really interesting. I wasn't aware of that. You've used a lot of terms that some of our listeners may not be familiar with. So for instance, define for us account-based ticketing. You talk about putting money on a card, but that's not money on the actual card or the virtual card per se. Tell us how account-based ticketing works. And then let's talk about this fare capping thing again. Why fare capping and why is that important?
Sure. So let's start with the account-based ticketing. As you mentioned, in older systems, with older systems, I mean card-based or card-centric systems, all the account information, so for example, how much money is available or what products are loaded on your card is literally stored on the card. So if you would read out the card itself, then you could read out that there are $50 stored in it and a monthly pass stored in it. And if you tap one of those cards in a card-based system, the fare calculation itself, so the determination that you owe $2.50 for the single ride as an example, that fare calculation all happens on the validator itself. And then the validator writes the information back to the card saying, okay, I just calculated the fare and I deduct $2.50 from that card. In an account-based system, the card itself is just an identifier for an account. The information itself, so the information how much money is loaded or what products are loaded to the account, all lives in the background system. The calculation of the fare happens in the background system too, which has major advantages. So once you tap a card slash fare media, which could be your phone or any other means, if you tap one of those identifiers at a validator, the validator does nothing else than sending the account information that it read out from the identifier to the backend. The backend then does all the calculations, deducts the value if there is enough balance available, and just sends the result back to the validator to show either a green light or a red light saying, yes, you're good to go or you're not good to go. Major advantages is A, all that happens in real time. So back in the days, in the card-based system, you had a transaction, money was deducted, but the backend system only knew about that transaction when the bus came back to the yard and when all the data was uploaded via Wi-Fi. In an account-based system and in the account-based world, since all that calculation and all the account information lives in the background system, that information can be made available whenever you want to have it available. So when you tap at a validator and the $2.50 is deducted, you can literally refresh your app a second later and you see that tap in your account, and therefore you have the correct balance within your account and visible all the time. Same is happening for loads. So for example, in a normal card-based system, I'm traveling to Seattle often, so they still have a card-based system where I just have struggles using the website because I know that it could take up to 24 hours until my funds are available. in an account-based system, I can just run to the bus. And if I know, hey, I only have $2 left and I need $3 for the ride, I could instantaneously just load money with my app and board the bus instead of planning 24 hours in advance when I don't have enough funds. So those are just major advantages for the customers because they know exactly how much money they have on their account and they can just instantaneously load money to their accounts using, for example, a mobile app or using the website. And for the agencies, it's a major advantage too, because since everything is calculating in the back end, the validator maintenance doesn't need to be as stringent because the validator itself is more or less just a unit that passes information and doesn't do any fare calculation, which means that if there's, for example, a fare increase, it's not that that fare increase has to make it to all validators and you have to ensure that all validators have that new information. All you have to do is make one change in the backend and that change is then automatically active and will automatically be used for all future fare calculations. The other thing you mentioned is fare capping. So on a very high level, fare capping is nothing else than a capping pot that you fill with money. And once the capping pot is full, then the customer doesn't need to pay for a specific amount of time anymore. So for the day cap example, the TriMet example is that they have a day cap of $5, which is the equivalent to the old day pass that had a cost of $5. If you ride in the morning, let's say you go to work at 7 a.m., you ride the bus, you pay $2.50 by just tapping your card. That $2.50 is deducted and the $2.50 is added to your daily capping pot. Now you go for lunch at noon with the bus, you pay another $2.50. The $2.50 now increases your capping pot to $5, which what we call caps it out. So that means you more or less earned a day pass for the day and now the system will not charge you anymore for any additional rides, which means that if you go back from work and you go home in the evening, even if the single ride is $2.50, if you tap the card, the system knows, yes, the person is capped out and therefore won't charge your account anymore.
The advantage is that I don't have to go to the retailer or the TriMet office and put all that money up front for, say, a monthly pass, whether it's $100 or whatever it might be. I can just use my card. And when that cap is met, regardless of how many other rides I have to take for that month, I'm not paying for those rides. So I don't have to put the money up front and I can pay as I go, so to speak. Is that accurate?
Correct. And that was one of the major reasons for Portland to do it is the social equity aspect. So because there are a lot of people who cannot afford putting down $100 at the beginning of the month and they are then disadvantaged because at the end of the month, they will pay more than people that can afford $100. It's just perfect means that you can pay as you go and load as you go. So you can just, for example, if you're unbanked and you want to pay with cash, you can go to a 7-Eleven every day and load $5 in cash on your card. And after 20 days of doing so, you earned your monthly pass with $100. And that monthly pass is then good for the rest of the month. So yes, mm-hmm. that social aspect is really a very important one to go to a model like this.
Mm-hmm. And when you say they can load their card, I think one of the major advantages of an account-based system over a card-based system is also for the rider, if the card is lost or stolen, their money is secure because it's in the back-end system, it's in the account. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. And you're totally right. The right term would be account identifier or fare media. It's just the word card is probably hard to be removed from the transit industry because it just represents what most people are used to use. But yes, that account identifier, as I said, it's just an account identifier. So it's very easy to replace that identifier with either a new card or with something like a virtual card that just lives in someone's wallet. And yes, if you lose your card, you can just block the card by yourself using the website or ask for a replacement card at a TriMet Customer Service Center or any of the other participating agencies, which is CTRAN in Vancouver and Portland Streetcar. And yes, it's as easy as go in and ask for a replacement card, or you can even buy a new card from a retailer and then just ask the call center to just transfer the funds over to your new card.
Mm-hmm. So you just mentioned that TriMet led the way for this new fare system, but it's not just TriMet. We're really talking about a regional fare collection system between two states even and three agencies. Can you talk to that a little bit? What was the idea behind that and how has that worked out?
Sure. And it definitely didn't make it easier to have two states involved and two legislatures and two different accounting rules that have to be complied to. But yes, the system is regional. Three agencies. TriMet is the biggest out of the three. TriMet has light rail and bus service. CTRAN, which is the agency in Vancouver, is providing BRT services and bus services. And then Portland Streetcar, which is its own agency, is providing the streetcar services within Portland. There are complex transfer rules between the agencies. Luckily, they got everyone to align on a regional capping system, but they have things like express routes. So for example, CTRAN provides an express route service with additional higher fares for that service. But that was all worked out in advance of the system, luckily, which was really a major achievement, so that it was fairly smooth to implement the business rules that they agreed on.
Mm-hmm. And what about the revenues? How is that managed? I mean, you've got three agencies all using one system. I know there was a lot of integration that had to take place. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Correct. So there's one back-end system. The one back-end system is the system that comes from us, from Init. And this one back-end system does all the accounting. There is an integration with a general ledger system called Sage that we are interfacing to export all the account information. But all the settlements and the complex revenue share between those agencies is all calculated in the back-end. And then it's exported to accounting system that is then distributing the funds itself. But yes, it was definitely challenging to get the revenue share between those agencies, right?
Mm-hmm. And then there also are not, if you can help me to understand this a little better and our listeners as well, are each of the agencies able to see the other's data or is that completely private to those agencies, those three separate agencies?
Every agency has, of course, the ability to look into their own data. And every agency is doing their own accounting with their data. But keep in mind that it's a regional system. So there is information that needs to be treated on a regional level. So therefore, yes, you have, every agency has their own data sets and has things that other agencies cannot see. But for example, if there's a transfer between a TriMet and a CTRAN route or a TriMet and a streetcar route, both agencies need to know what the transfer is. And therefore, that information is something that is made available to the whole region. So I would say, yes, there are portions and sections of the system where only the agency can access the data, but there are other portions and other data sets that are accessible by the whole region.
So this system has been in the works or actually been fully operational for a couple of years now. There have been some add-ons with the Google and Apple Pay features, but tell us what you're hearing from TriMet and maybe more importantly from their riders about the system.
So as mentioned before, the feedback that we got so far is really, really good, especially things like fare capping and virtual cards are really functions that are very, very well received.
Mm-hmm. So Thomas, do you have any further thoughts about the project or about fare capping or the virtualization of fare cards? Anything that you want to leave us with?
I think one thing that I want to mention, and especially the lesson learned from TriMet that might help other agencies when thinking about planning new account-based system, TriMet started extremely early. And if I say TriMet, I mean the whole region. So TriMet, Citroën, and Streetcar. They started the thought process just very, very early. And they really thought through what can be changed to make it easier for the customer, and especially how can we change our fare structure to then achieve and accomplish all those things that they want to accomplish with the new system. This is why they got rid of what they call their free fare zone and went through a very easy to understand flat fare structure and no distance based, no zone based system, to just make it easy for the customer, make it easy for the system to just implement things like fare capping in a very, very straightforward way.
I think that's great advice. The progress being made in Portland is not only exciting, but it's also promising, as these modern fare technologies are providing social equity and greater flexibility for passengers traveling in the region. Thomas, thanks for joining us today. Your thoughts have been very informative.
You're welcome. Thank you.